let's listen to the Wall Street Report from Mark.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, you were talking a few minutes ago about, you know, find a question for Ion and then ask 100 questions about it. And I was thinking of the last time I called in a few weeks ago, we were, you and I and some others were talking about the collapse of the economy. And Ion says, I think you said, is the economy going to collapse, Ion? And he said, waiting on the Robert E. Lee. And then, you know, we tried to determine what that was all about. And I was kind of brushing over these things, and you got into it and asked a bunch of questions. And what we finally got to was it had to do with cotton. And so he said, when cotton hits, now we're talking about the crash of the economy, and Ian says, when cotton hits 55 cents, and then you go, what do you mean? What does that mean? He goes, oh, that's a good buy. So if you hadn't asked three or four questions, you might be thinking that when cotton hits 55 cents, the whole...
He's lazy. He's not precise.
And you know what? He said 1,000 times that he is literal, but I don't think he is. You know, to me, that means you're stating true information. It's not embellished. You're being accurate. And I'll give you another example. One of the first questions I asked him was... I mentioned a conversation that he had with Deb about Southern Company. And during that conversation about a month or so ago, she was saying, well, you know, Southern's been doing very well for me and I want to buy some more, but I'm kind of waiting for the price to drop. And then he said, it'll be $41.61 by June 25th. And he didn't say what year, but June 25th. And I think Deb even said, oh, goody, you know, here's a buying opportunity. So I thought that was strange that, you know, Southern would drop 20%. So when I asked him about it, he said, well, that doesn't pertain to you. But he led me to believe that, you know, I didn't know what to take from that. And then 2 hours later, Barbara says, okay, so Southern's going down to 41 to 61. He said, oh, no, that was last year's price. So I go into the Internet. I pull up June 25th, 2015, and sure enough, the closing price of Southern was $41.61. So he tells Barbara the truth, but he misled Deborah. I don't know if she's on the line and could speak for herself. But and then me, he was kind of vague on. And then one last point to that issue. Later in the conversation, when we were trying to find out when the crash was, I asked Ion the question. I said, Ion, have you given us the date previously? And he said, yes. And in that conversation, the only date that was referenced was June 25th. And, of course, I'm thinking 2016. And so he, instead of him saying, oh, no, that was a 2015 date, Mark, he's, you know, I'm running down the road with this crash on, you know, June 25th, 2016, and then he throws in the cotton thing. And so, you know, if I was totally 100% reacting to everything Ion said, you know, I might have sold Southern thinking it's going to drop and then buy back later. And I might have treated the economy as though it's going to crash in June when that wasn't really the truth. And if Barbara hadn't been listening or asked the same question, you know, I wouldn't have known any difference. So, you know, if Ion would have been on tonight, or this morning, you know, I wanted to kind of ask him about that is, you know, what is your definition of literal? And
right,
you know, what do you mean by that? Hey, and Bob, you were getting a little frustrated at me because I was moving too quickly, and I understand why, because through your 10,000 hours with ION, you know that you've got to dissect and do a postmortem on everything he's saying to get to the truth, and then you may not get there. So
I haven't learned one fucking thing from ION.
I know, you know, someone would think
that I could say, you know what I mean? I can't say, I now know this. He once said a few months ago, there are more than one eternities. There's more than one eternity.
I know.
And I'm sure he didn't say that years ago.
This is what's funny, is if I told a friend of mine, hey, I can put you on the line with a guy who spent 10,000 hours in one-on-one conversation with non-physical, but don't ask him too many questions because he doesn't know a damn thing. You know,
I didn't learn anything from it.
I know, because I'm, you know, there's some things that you remember, and you tell people when they ask you, but you always say, hey, you got to ask ION that. And then what throws the whole wrinkle into it is I ask a question and get an answer. Deb ask it, Barbara ask it, and we all three get different answers. And
that's right.
It's frustrating
it's frustrating, you know, but Mark, it is unique. This is the first source of wisdom that's been so chaotic, crazy, and there's a purpose to it. He's loosening up your mind.
Let me give you my thought on this and see what your input is. I think things that have happened already, and he says everything has happened, so I'm kind of shooting myself in the foot as I go down this path. But, you know, all the stuff back in biblical times, that's already happened. That's historical. And ION speaks very authoritatively on all those subjects and science. You know, he knows all that stuff. But when, you know, a lot of this investing stuff that I talk to him about is future. And I realize that things can change quickly. But if, for example, ION told me that silver would hit $116 an ounce. Now, he didn't say when, but if that's something he sees in the future, then I would question why he told me 2 years ago to sell every ounce of silver I had, if he knew that it was going to be at 116 in the future. He would have said,
right,
hey, sit tight. And, you know, and based on ION's, you know, he was chiding me that I was too involved in the money side of it, that, you know, I went out and sold a pretty large chunk of silver and, you know, because ION said it was messing me up, you know. And so so I didn't want to be messed up in the head and be, you know, totally consumed with money. So it was like I was saying to myself, hey, I can, you know, I'll just dump it because, you know, I'm in control of the silver. The silver's not in control of me, you know, that type thing. But, yeah, he can make you go a little crazy with some of his things, and then I thought that and you might recall some of this.
Now, Mark, if he was listening to you right now, and you said, you know, I can make you go crazy, he'd go, good.
Yeah,
he will celebrate that idea. He is trying to make you go crazy.
Yeah, I guess to remove the labyrinth and.
Yeah,
you know, so you don't think, but oh gosh, there was something I was going to say. Anyway, yeah, he's but you know the jump into the Angela Merkel thing, and you were talking about the Union, the European Union, all sticking together. I think the leaders realize that once the first rat jumps ship, the rest of them may follow. And so it's, you know, that's why they were, you know, remember a couple years ago, Greece wanted to exit, and, you know, they did everything in their power and to keep them in there. And Italy, Spain, and some of these others, I think they want out. And so I think they're trying to hold it together because, you know, they don't want to admit it was a failed experiment, and trying to get, you know, 25 different nations to operate on the same playing, you know, level playing field. So anyway, those are some of my thoughts on what you guys were talking about, and you know,
Merkel's thoughts. That's what one should think. You know,
yeah.
Probably I'm the only person in the world who would have put up with this mutating fucking thing. You know, I've spent years looking at Finnegan's Wake, which is indecipherable. So I'm used to looking at ridiculous information, and then Ayn shows up to act out the Finnegan's Wake thing. And we're making new things, but we largely don't have to do much. Ayn tells us what to do, and then if we fuck it up, Ayn fixes it.
Yeah.
So his original statement to us back in 2009 was, what would you do if you couldn't fail? Well, if you stay in touch with Ayn, you can't fail.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey,
at
you
least
know, the,
we're not.
Yeah, my game plan is take the products and
yes.
And listen and engage.
And engage,
and, and read and, you know, kind of study the material, but the material is always changing, you know. But
right.
That's the...
So what you learn... See, after a while, every other source of information is boring because they try to present a point of view and they think you're going to believe the point of view. And you know, it's so fucking childish compared to what Ayn. Ayn is showing how much is going on.
Yeah.
That's why he has to act out many different answers.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's why
I
Kim
still,
or anybody can't listen to anything else. You can't listen to Wolf Blitzer tell you some stupid thing. You know, Ayn is... As an art form,
stop.
It's a painting. He's making, just make him, he's making a painting of our reality, of all that's going on in it. And it looks like a page of Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And that's, you know, when I first went through what you did, Mark, I thought of myself as like that Gumby doll. Remember Gumby? How stiff it was and kind of posed? I felt like Ayn was pulling the Gumby pieces out as far as they could stretch. And moving them into different configurations. And for a while, I fought the hell out of that. Because my mind wasn't that way. But finally, it broke. And once it broke, it's like, it's all good now. You know, I listened
to
it.
And you survived it, Kim. The fear of losing your mind, you went through it, lost your mind, and it didn't hurt. You're still here. Maybe because you're on the drops, but you survived it.
I hear
you,
Mark, when I got better and better at stopping up, when I stopped trying to figure it out, much easier said than done.
Right.
Something different came to me effortlessly. I'm still not sure about it.
Yeah.
Still not sure exactly, but it's different.
Here's a little story that kind of illustrates this. After I had been listening and taking the products for about 6 months, I was spending probably 4 or 5, 6 hours a day going through the archives. And this happened to be in between, Bob Fest and, when Ayn came back in about, March or something. And, so I just, I devoured all the information. And I thought I understood it pretty well. And I went on a road trip with a buddy of mine, who I've known for many, many, many years, and I have credibility with him. And so I said, hey, I got to tell you something. So for 5 hours, I explained Ayn and Bob and the whole thing and as many things as I could tell. And I thought I actually did a good job of explaining that. And now, 2.5 years later or 2 years later, if I tried to explain this, I wouldn't even attempt it because I'm more confused now. The longer I go, the more confused I am.
Yes, that's great.
You know,
wonderful.
Hey, for example, you know, there's five bodies, right, Mr. Bodies? No, now we're at six. No, now we're at eight. You know, how do you?
That's right.
It took me a while to get the five. You know, and So I just I just know that I believe that if I take the products and that I engage myself in all aspects of it, that and try to not worry so much about things, that it'll be fine, you know.
Right. The Android meme's in charge. Machines took over. Flesh is obsolete.
Yeah.
And you're going to get out of that situation if you
and
stick
with
the situation.
But Mark,
what did your friend do? The important point here for me is, did your friend tell you to shut up after 5 hours? Like,
no.
What did he make of what you were telling him?
No, he was excited. He was excited. And so it was a 2.5 hour trip to a funeral and then 2.5 hours back. And so we talked the whole time about this, and he asked me a bunch of questions. And, you know, many of them I said, I can't answer that, you know. But anyway, I said, okay, here's the deal. I've presented this information to you. You think about it for a few days. Next Saturday, there's a phone call. You can get a chance to talk to Ion yourself if you want. And he said, okay. He never called me back. So, and I see this guy periodically. So he never said, I want to call in. Then about a year later, I was with him. You know, I did many things with him. But a year later, we're talking, and he bought a bunch of silver, too, at my recommendation. And he said, what's happening with silver? And I said, hey, Ion said it's going to go up, up, up. You know, J.P. Morgan is losing control. And he goes, yeah, I want to talk to Ion. So this is like 2 years after the first. Never a word. And so now he is, I'll admit, he's a little flaky. But you know, if someone said to me, hey, I'm speaking to, even if they said an alien, hey, I'm speaking, I have access to an alien, I would be at least interested enough to want to check it out. And, but you know, I thought of, and I was going to ask Ian about this, I don't mean to dominate here, but you know what this reminds me of is, and I don't know if in all your... You know, the farmer went out and he spread seed, and you know, some of it fell on rocky ground and didn't grow, and others fell on near the there was a little soil and it sprang up, and then the sun came out and you know it died, and then some seed went into the thorns and the thorns choked it, and then finally some of the seed landed on fertile ground and it grew and it produced 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. And see, to me, this is the example of, you know, for example, my friend represents the guy, the seed that falls on the path and doesn't grow at all. And you would be at the other extreme where you and Carolyn, you accepted Ion, and you were fortunate enough to be the focal point for it, and now you're producing 100-fold. And
right.
You know, I'm just making this up, but you know, maybe Jenny and Greg are 60-fold, and some of the others are 30-fold. And you know, to me, that could be, and I want to ask Ion about that, is that could be an example of how little man engages ascension, is that some of them aren't going to get it, some are going to get excited for a little while and then lose interest because they just don't believe or their labyrinth gets control. Others are going to flourish in it. And you know, that's
you
why
know,
you get
Rob,
a variety of reactions.
You know, Mark, this reminds me, Bob, about a month ago, what youth after hours. Do you remember, Bob, when you did the phone calling and you called Jill, who used to be, you know, on cash flow?
Yeah, Jill.
And
we called Jill, yeah.
Yeah, you had, right, and you hadn't talked to her for a while. And she sounded so grateful to not be part of I&M anymore, not to be listening, because now she can think and her world's just fine, you know, and she moved on throughout not having to do this. That's a very good analogy. You know, from what Mark's saying, is that she had every opportunity and just did not want to go any further and found every reason in the world to say, you know what, thanks for the fish, but I'm just not going where you're going. And
you know, a couple
years ago,
I was when I found out that, and in fact, I communicated with Bob just after listening to the archives. I sent Bob an email and I said, "This is when Ion went dark back in 2015 or 14." And I said,
"He Bob Fess is at the end of 2013, and he comes back on February 22nd, 2014, and he's been there until last fall when he took 3 or 4 months off."
Yeah. Well, in January of 2014, I sent you an email, and I said, I'd like to have a private session. I didn't know anything about the process, but I knew that Ion was gone, and so I started back on the archives from the very beginning, and I was working my way up for months from, say, November, December, January, February of that year. And actually, Ion had come back, and I didn't realize it because I was still on the archives. But anyway, I sent you an email, and I said, you know, I'd like to get a private session. And you said JW is gone stealth or something like that, so
stealth,
no more private sessions. And now I look back on that, and I think, if anything, hey, if 10,000 hours of private sessions hasn't given you all the answers, then 1 or 2 hours wouldn't have done much for me either. So it would have probably sent me down, more rabbit holes.
No, you can listen to the archives and listen to people asking questions that you would ask. Now, you might not get that answer, but for listening to other people's worlds, we got enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to cover so much stuff. Now, you know, I've greatly profited from all this, but I've learned to live without having a conceptual statement about things.
Yeah.
That's what McCune called univocal. I do not have I do not speak English. If I speak English, I'm doing it like a scientist. I'm talking technically. Yeah. The five bodies is a technical language. The McLuhan talk is. Now I'm doing Little LaRouche. I'm talking using these guys' words. So I can keep myself out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you you're the the role model and the poster child for what we should be
surviving
doing.
Surviving.
Yeah,
right.
Because you know you don't seem to worry about too much, except where to spend your money.
I don't even worry about that. I don't spend money. Not interested in buying anything. It's a hassle. Holy shit, man! We gotta spend $500,000. No, what is it? Half of it. Gotta spend $50,000 by next Wednesday, or we'll get taxed on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the kind of problems we got.
Well, see, Ion.
And what do we buy?
Years.
I don't need anything. What are we gonna buy?
You know,
I usually just give it away.
You know, Ion, and years ago, he said this probably a couple times, but I remember, you know, someone asking about lots of money, and he went into how that creates more money. You gotta find a place to put it. You gotta protect it. You gotta, you know, you gotta worry about it. You gotta pay taxes on it. You need to, and you want to go to the beach and swim and eat ice cream. You know, you don't want to be worrying about
like JW,
the financial stuff.
JW described to me before Ion. Let me respond to that. JW used to talk to me about his situation before Ion.
Yeah.
He didn't like having bodyguards. He actually didn't like his structure. He's a natural, relaxed and loud guy. He put up with it, but he actually is he has a lot of things he has to do for the corporations that invested in him or have him on the board or he owns. You know what I mean? He has a lot of potential headaches all the time. And once Ion came, he just sort of stopped. He just stayed home. And he stopped running around, sort of. But he still has to. He used to talk to Carolyn before Ion about, he knew what it was like to be a billionaire, trillionaire. You know, he knew the headaches of it.
Right. Yeah. Well,
when you're at that level of income, Bob, why make an effort to avoid the taxes? It sounds like it's more of a burden for you to figure out how to spend $50,000 than to just pay the tax rate.
Well, Bob has people.
I don't know. I think
that are
No, we do it. We had a few advisors, not many. Someone said, well, you just give it to charity, like people give it to their churches. But I don't want to give it to anybody because they're all... or do it in the way I appreciate where it went.
Yeah.
Why should
like
I give it to
Bush
Clinton bullshitters?
Then it's a choice to make that effort, though.
I said, like your favorite INS.
Oh, yeah, like Eliza. She's getting a big bonus this year.
Gifts are good. Gifts and donations are very good. They're tax deductible.
Look at you guys. You become grubby people. Jesus Christ.
You know, pretty soon.
Why do you get back when you say, I don't know what to do with $50,000?
Yeah.
We're just trying to help you.
Exactly.
I know. You'd love to be in my situation where you got a lot of money as a problem. What do I do with this? I got $50,000. What do I do with it?
You know, Bob, this buddy of mine that I talk to, like I said, I talk to him frequently. But I, when I told him that silver was going to really take off, he has some gold, too. And I said, remember I told you about Bob? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, you know, all this gold that's shipping out of the U.S. to Asia, it's going to Bob. And, you know, he said, well, where does Bob keep it? And I said, Bob doesn't know. He doesn't know where it is. He can't account for it.
Other people do it for me.
Yeah. And he's going, this is the guy that's running the show? No, I'm kidding.
Yep, he's running Trump.
Yeah.
Bob,
you know,
Phil from the UK is on the line, and he's got a great silver perspective that I think Mark would enjoy.
Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Who's on the line? What did
Phil.
You just say? Someone's
Phil
on the line.
From the UK.
Oh, is he? How do you know?
Because he put it on chat that he's muted.
Oh, I see. Yeah, there's a bunch of people here. I haven't unmuted. They just came in, so I'll unmute them.
Yay.
Right. I know that Phil, he followed everything that Ian said last year to a couple of years, waiting for this is going to crash in October. And he finally, about a year or so ago, said, yeah, I forget it. I don't know what's going on. So he stopped sort of listening to Ian.
You need to update him, Joyseeker. Update Bob, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear? You can. Oh,
yeah.
Right. Hello. Yeah, it's interesting listening to Mark. I have to echo a lot of what he says. But I also agree with Bob that it is trying to get us, you know, out of the labyrinth of our mind. Particularly with silver, I mean, I did much the same as Mark. You know, when Ian said the price was going to drop right down to $9 and get out of it, I did sell all my bullion I think it was about $20 an ounce, having bought it all at $30. So I thought, well, that's a loss. And then I heard Ian say to someone, well, you haven't made a loss at all. And I thought, well, how do you make that out? And then at a later point, I was talking to Jean about 6 months later and Eliza and said there will be a spike in the silver price. I think that was last March, and I think Mark spoke about that. So I thought, okay, but when Eliza said, well, should we buy silver then? And I said, well, don't touch the metals. And I thought, well, you know, but the girls didn't take it further and say, well, what other investment instrument could I use? Because, I mean, I was encouraging Bert and Califoli to, saying that they'd made their investments in silver, you know, that they would do well. So they must have got into the paper markets, and that means either the SLV or into the miners. And seeing as I knew a lot about the miners, because that's what I was interested in when I stumbled across James Martinez back in 2012, so I knew which miners were of interest. So I had a scour through them, and I invested in one which was absolutely rock bottom. You know, they really have been shorted the hell out of. And so I picked one up that I knew was a good one, right at the bottom, and that was just after Ian had told us about the spike last April, and, down to January of this year, and it was still, you know, the same value that I'd bought it at. But, you know, I sort of, I'm trying not to sort of fixate too much on it, and I thought, well, you know, it can't go any lower. I know that because it's stuck at the same price for this length of timing. And it, since January this year, it's trebled in value. So, you know, I think with iron, they do give you the information, but it's often up to you to decipher it and then to act upon it. Because, I mean, they were more or less saying, look, you know, you can make money on silver. There will be a spike, and of course there will be now because the Shanghai gold platform's just got up and running last Tuesday, and that's already having a pretty big effect on the you know, the Western cartel. They won't be able to. Well, Mark would probably be better explaining it than myself, but basically the price fixing of the gold and silver has always been done in London. And, you know, they'll set the benchmark, or the fix, which is exactly the right word, and then any miners or people who produce the actual bullion have to sell it through London. But the Chinese have set up their equivalent and finally got it all up and running and launched last Tuesday, and they'll do it at a premium. So, of course, all these miners are not going to sell their bullion to London anymore if China's offering them more money. So that's instantly changed the game. And as this progresses, more and more money and liquidity is flowing out of the West and into China. I mean, they've really played a very, very smart game, but I am told us that that's exactly what the Chinese would do and were doing, so that's where the spike will come now. I'm sure it's just going to go up and up and up.
You know, the
and
big
that
difference
was all
between
intertwined with Deutsche Bank going down and ION calling timber to the banks, and Deutsche Bank just admitted that they, you know, just admitted to price fixing the metals markets, and not only silver. They started with silver, then they admitted to gold, and they did it in the same week that China's bringing up their version of what they're talking about.
The important follow-on to that is they've also, part of their legal settlement, is they've agreed to identify the other banks that were involved in the price rigging.
Mm-hmm.
And so that
ION listed them, Barclays, and he listed three or four, and he's talking about them.
Yeah,
you know, I think they've all done it, haven't they?
This probably isn't of interest to a lot of people, but so I'll make it quick. But the difference between what Shanghai is doing, one of the differences, and London and New York is it's a physical market. So, for example, if you want to sell gold bars, you've got to deposit the gold into the exchange. You physically have to have it if you're selling it, and then a buyer can place a contract and pay the price and take delivery of the metal. New York and London, New York, you can take delivery, but most people use paper contracts, and so that allows the big banks who have deep pockets to flood the market with sell orders, even though they don't even have the metal, to drive the price down. And all the people that were buying long along the way, let's say you thought it was going to go to 17, 18, 19, and they drive it down to 15, well, all those people dump their contracts, and then the big banks go in and cover their short contracts and pick up the metal. And that's why, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask ION is, a few weeks ago when I talked to him, he mentioned that J.P. Morgan has 72 metric tons of silver. And when I look at the data online, I see they have 1,800 tons, metric tons. So, you know, it's, 15 times or more than that, 25 times more. So, I don't know where ION's you know, what he means by that, but so I need to ask questions, but yeah, you know, but
hey, Mark,
Ion, yeah.
If we had a guy from Barclays, a guy from Chase or J.P. Morgan or something, say five major Wall Street movers and shakers, come on here and start talking to Ion, all five of them at the same time, asking questions and making statements, Ion could answer every one of them. It would be a blah, 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 blah to us, but he could address all five of them simultaneously. Now, what can do that?
Oh, I know.
You see, we're real slow. We're fucking retarded people compared to what Ion can do.
Yes.
You know? And because Ion's waiting for speedy stuff, you know, or he can do a lot more, communicate many levels. And if he did that to the five Wall Street people, then you'd get a picture, a feeling of the complexity of the information environment that we're living in.
Hologram.
Well, you know, Ion will, you know, because, you know, our minds are so inferior. I mean, he can throw these rabbit holes in front of us so fast that, you know, I'm talking to him about silver 3 weeks ago, and he's calling out Ian Underwood, who you said was in the Mothers of the... And then he throws out, Zubin Mehta, and I'm going, you know, I got to go look these
people up. That's the famous conductor.
Yeah, I know.
Zappa did it in May 70. Yep. He did a concert in L.A. With Zubin Mehta.
So, you know, I asked the question. I said, okay, is silver going to continue its rise? And he said, Anton Weber, is it going to continue the rise? Ian Zubin Mehta. Then he goes,
you know what he was doing there, Mark? He was taking a meme, like, you know, like he'll at some point he'll quote nothing but Wyndham Lewis for 20 minutes or someone else. He decided to take the Zappa world, who studied Anton Webern and all these guys, and he was just throwing the Zappa world at you for some reason. And then, did he know that you were close to Zappa by coincidence through somebody? You told us this story, remember?
Well, you know, father? I asked that before he got into that other stuff, but he indicated.
Well, then that'd be why he's doing it. I'm saying, the fact that you brought out, you were connected to Zappa, so he knew that, so he looked in your brain, and then so he threw Zappa at you, because you kind of evoked it by saying that you were, through somebody, connected to Frank.
Yeah. You know, I know at the end of the show, you said, or when I was leaving, you said, Mark, I want you to scrub this information down and come back next week, which is about 3 weeks ago, and tell us what it means. And so I started digging into this for a few days, and I said, I don't think this means anything, you know. I can't figure any of this stuff out. You know, 200 motels, the Grand Wazoo, and I'm just going, forget it. But he did say one thing, and I'll tell you what, and this is the way my mind thinks, and I could be totally wrong, and I'm not going to do anything different, but we were talking about the silver price, and he said, you know, he started singing Silver Bells, and then he goes, Silver Bells, Silver Bells. He goes, oh, that's Christmas time. We're in Easter. And then when I went back and I thought about that, I go, well.
Yeah, Christmas in March.
December, you know, that's Bing Crosby song about Christmas. And I ask a question, you know, when is silver going to hit 116 and says Silver Bells and, you know, something like that. And so if I was to put two and two together, I mean, I get five, but or four, but but I would say, okay, based on that, was he trying to tell me December, the end of this year, things are going to go crazy? And the reason silver would go to 116 would be if a lot of these banks get criminally charged, even though this has been, they've been, all the big banks have all kinds of indictments against them, and they've paid huge fines, but no one goes to jail. But the but that made me think that a market major correction would be in line with, say, precious metals rising quickly, you know. And I know Phil follows a guy that is claiming that by October, you know, things are going to reveal itself. So. Anyway,
Mark,
the bottom of... Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that what you just described, prosecution of bank officials in the European system, does that have an effect if China has taken over the market entirely? Is that going to have an effect on the price of silver at all?
Well, I think what it would do is it would see I'm just going to speculate here. There's maybe 10% of the investors that know that there are shenanigans going on. Most people don't, and don't even dabble in the metals. But I think that if people started going to jail and it was headlines, and I think that people outside of the U.S. are more savvy when it comes to protecting themselves with gold and silver, because see, our generation, we haven't experienced a currency collapse in our lifetimes. And even the Great Depression, you know, it was tough for a while, but even during that time, the U.S. dollar was backed by gold. It's just that the central bankers went too crazy. And but when I think a lot of people will start heading into that arena, which will drive the price up, because they see that the system, they've been lied to, and it's and the central bankers don't know what they're doing, and China. The European Union, but China realizes that they're moving towards a gold-backed currency, and that's why it may take them a little while to get there, but that's their, you know, as Ian would say, the thousand-year plan. And
well, yeah, that seems to be the big question in the conspiracy world. Is this just a front, and is China going to play the same game? They're just taking over another oligarchy.
You know, you never know. Yeah,
or
you never know.
Or because China is at least propping themselves up to say they're going to value it at, you know, real, they're going to attach it back to the actual physical gold, that Ion says the value of gold has never changed.
Yeah, but see,
so
here's what Ion doesn't, he's right. Money gets good or bad, but gold stays the same. But here's what Ion doesn't admit. And I think I kind of caught him on this, but I wasn't gonna make a big issue. You know, don't bite non-physical's hand, so to speak. But what Ion doesn't take into account when he says that, you know, the metal prices have dropped because money has gotten better. Well, money has gotten more plentiful with the trillions of extra digits created, and we just talked about all the manipulation. You know, if anything, Ion would say, well, the true price should be much higher, but there are other forces in play. And but he doesn't recognize that. And
from Ion, here's a thing that I've been playing with. Ion already knows everything I'm thinking. So Ion's going to respond to me based on, you know, what I'm not even taking into account about my perspective. And that's why he's going to, everything that you've said, Ion already knows that that's the approach you're coming from. So he's going to say things to trip you up. So you quit thinking the way you're thinking. And that's, I think, why it's so individual.
Now, I will say this. You know, when I mentioned a little while ago that Ion said that, you know, investing in silver and gold was messing me up. And I think he could be right in my case because, because I went, 100% into that stuff back in, 2010 and it was very profitable for, a while. And then May 1st of 2011, that's when the prices started, you know, collapsing in silver, and then gold hit its high in September of 2011, and then they've never recovered from that. And so the question I ask myself is, if I had been correct and I had, let's say, made millions, and so I'm fat and happy, got all kinds of money, and I ran across the Ion, would I have accepted it? Or would I have said, hey, I don't need any engagement with some alien or non-physical being. Yeah. You know, hey, I'm in good shape, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think, because I want to ask Ian this question.
It worked in your favor, yeah.
Yeah, so
it worked for you, Mark.
Yeah, I think I think just like we've kind of said, and you said, Gene, Ion knows where I'm coming from. He knows what needs to happen. If that means relinquishing assets, then, you know, that's what I need to do. And he'll probably say, I told you so, you know. But but I was consumed. I was looking at the market 5-10 times a day, checking things, moving things around. You know, I was consumed with it, and now I hardly go in there because I basically own about three or four things. And three of the four, well, now four of the four are what Ion has mentioned. You know, Southern, Silver, I have gold too, and the VIX, which I'm still underwater on, and that TTT that I mentioned a few weeks ago. And my focus now, and here's the thrust of what I'm saying, is if I was still doing what I did years ago and the amount of time I put into the market, I wouldn't have the time to listen. You know, I try not to miss any of the shows. I try to listen to all hours and write down questions. I wouldn't have the time to study it. And so I'm probably doing the right thing and I'm on the right path, even though I've lost something along the way. But hey, if you become ascended, you're going to manifest whatever you need. It's you're not going to need X number of ounces of anything, you know.
And you're doing it already. You're doing it already.
Yeah.
And if you had gotten all rich, you might have been spending all your time avoiding taxes by spending all your money.
Well, I would have not felt compelled to. I could do it all myself. You know, that's talked about a lot. Is hey, I don't need
anybody.
You
would miss the whole Ion experience.
Yeah.
If you were successful,
you know, like,
5 years ago, you wouldn't have learned anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they say that a lot about people, wealthy people, and religion. And, you know, we now all have a different view of that. But, you know, they used to say, hey, what good is all that money if you can't take it with you? And, you know, you want life after death. And I wouldn't have been as deeply engaged and involved in this as I would have if things had been different. So,
you know what the coolest thing about that, Mark, is that every person that we all listen to that interacts with Ion, every encounter for them is a personal experience based on whatever it is they're asking or want to know. And for you, that was exactly personal to bring you to the point you're at. And that's why I just love listening, because you can feel that intimacy that Ion brings to the person he's, you know, interacting with.
Yeah.
And based on whatever it is, it's given to him.
Yeah. You know, here's, and I may be reading too much into this, but, and it's a question that, you know, I've wanted to ask Ion for a long time. You know, I mentioned back in 2010, I went 100% into physical gold and silver, and I had a few mining stocks too. And and I made that move based on a dream I had. And in the dream, and I had been following it and in and out, but in the dream it said when this particular double silver fund hit, it's a long fund, so if price goes up, then you make double that percentage increase each day. And it said when you hit, this is the dream, when the price hits $50 a share, put everything in, buy, And actually, the actual dream, it said buy $100,000 worth of it. So, you know, the price at 50, and I did that. And it went up and up and up and up and up. But I never had a dream that told me to sell. And so I didn't know ION at that time, obviously, 2010, 2011. And of course, ION could say, oh, yeah, we told you that. We wanted you to buy. We didn't tell you to sell because you were getting too greedy and you were, you know, we needed to slap some sense into you and humble you. And that's what happened. You know, I was, when your whole focus is on, and I'm not saying I was a greedy, totally greedy, bad person, but I was focused, I thought I had analyzed this, I had done enough research that I knew I was making the right decision, and the dream validated that, and so I made the move, and so, you know, 6 months, 9 months later, I'm just going, what the heck? How could I be so stupid to just watch this thing go down and down? And I at each dropping point, I figured, well, it's a correction, and it's going to bounce back up, because that's what it always did. But the powers that be were so hell-bent on destroying the price and the sentiment that they were relentless, and the regulator the regulators turned a blind eye, and the the CFTC and all the agencies, you know, they didn't do anything. So
yep.
It's
Mark,
yeah.
You were talking earlier on about Bob Polnay and the biblical calculations, and if you actually look at how he stated that, you know, with gold and silver, that gold had topped, as you say, in September 2011, and silver a couple of months beforehand, that
right.
They had then entered into this down cycle, and it's like 3.5. Well, it's a 7-year cycle, and it's like more or less 3.5 years going up and 3.5 years going down, and.
Right.
What we didn't know, and Bo did, is that gold and silver had both started their down cycles, as you say, in 2011, and there was the extra year of a jubilee year, which we're in presently. So, so what you had is like a down for 3.5 years. And all the bankers have done, it's helped it on its way down. It was going down anyway, and they've just helped boot the bus, busted down much lower than it probably should have gone down. That's all they've done. But now they're going to, they are now losing, despite throwing the kitchen sink, you know, throwing a year's worth of silver mining capacity in one day in paper silver, which is what they did during the week twice, and they still didn't manage to stop it from coming up. You know, it's now in an up cycle, a biblical up cycle, which started in December for both the metals, and it's just going to continue rising up. As Ian said, it'll go up the river. And, you know, when Brexit and things like that happen, it'll go up even quicker.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that, because I still own quite a bit, but but you know, if it does, great. If it doesn't,
well, you still got your ticket on the train anyway, aren't you? So.
Yeah. It was a very subtle comment, but. He mentioned something about platinum, again, being a better investment than gold. Remember how he talked about that years ago?
And he
it was a very subtle thing, and he said, they've already acted on the information. I don't know what that means. My first thought was, I think he has a direct line to Kalesia about investing in But you know, it's a kick listening to Ion, and
I think Caliphaly got the biblical calculations stuffed a long while ago, probably after a private session with Ion, because she must have been familiar with the markets.
Yeah.
And it sounds as if she's you know, some of the comments Ayan's made and the fact that she never stops laughing when she appears, I suspect she's doing extremely well for herself on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's my thought. Because I thought about investing in Bo's service, and I thought, okay, Bo's interpreting the Bible, but I have access to the entity that wrote the Bible. So, but you know, Ayan, when I asked him that question, he threw out this Kali, and of course I tried to search that out and, you know, got nowhere, but, and I'm not going to worry about it too much. So,
I mean, I think it's now in an up cycle, and now, particularly now that the Chinese have weighed in as well with the new system that you spoke of earlier.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to go up and up and up. It's just a question of you know, the bigger picture events happening now and deciding when to exit, you know, get all your money out and put it into Southern Company.
Well, here's a good piece of advice. Ayan even said this to me. Okay, so it goes up, 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 and you sell it. What are you going to put your money into? Dollars? And so the time when you decide to sell something like that, that has historical value, you know, over generations and centuries, you want to put it in something that's backed. And maybe that would be the Shanghai Gold Exchange or Gold and Silver Exchange, where they're trying to back the yuan. So, anyway. Hey, you know, I have to jump off the line now, but I've enjoyed talking to all you guys, and I'll
be back.
Yeah,
thanks,
I'll be
Mark,
back.
So
bye, Gene. Bye, Kim. So,
bye, Mark.
Before you go, Mark. Before you go, Mark. Mark, before you go, thanks for doing that report. And I don't think Khalifa did that well. Why isn't Khalifa here now? Unless she's listening, but she's not interacting. That's how you tell someone you got something out of it. They're back here interacting with Ayan. If they're not here, they failed.
You may get
so
a financial boost.
This myth that Khalifa made a lot of money or something, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah,
but Bob...
Yeah. Ayan has implied that.
Khalifa is a representation.
Ayan has implied that she did well. But I don't see... We met with Khalifa a couple of years ago, and I never heard from her again.
Yeah. That's true.
But that's what Ayan says. When people are ascended, they don't engage. They don't need to engage anymore.
No.
That's what
the message is that this is what I just played you. It's a bit garbled what Ayan said, but my question was, the ascended have to engage with you because the old archetypes of ascension don't apply anymore. And he said immediately, he said, that's right.
Yeah, they want to.
See,
yeah.
We're now involved with everybody. It's a new level of human involvement, post-human involvement of everything, and Ayan's the medium for doing it, the currency. So if you're not here interacting, you're missing out on something.
Sure.
Yeah. You're just off on some old version of solitary ascension by yourself. And you can do that regardless, and it's not necessary because you're already always going to be in that position. So we're trying to encourage the intelligent use of interacting with mortar.
Yeah.
It's the only exchange that has value anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not valuable in normal ways. It's ineffable,
right.
The value. Or it can show up being very valuable. If you got a minute, Mark?
Yeah.
Let me tell you this.
Okay.
You still there, Mark?
Yes, I am.
Goodbye.
No, I'm here.
Okay, listen to this. I was in Toronto in September 14, and there's this guy I knew at CQN. I hadn't spoken to him for 20 years, and I noticed he'd had an art show. I made a snarky remark about him on his comments page, and I don't know if he saw it. Then I saw his name interacting with Carolyn, so I thought he was talking to Carolyn, and I was wondering why he was talking to me. Later I found out I don't think it was him. But so I'm there on Sunday, in the middle of September, and I say, I'm going to go to the Toronto Museum, and Mike's going to be there. That's what I said. This guy, Mike Hansen.
Yep.
And so I forgot about it. Don't remember doing it. I go up through the levels of the museum. I get up to the top floor, and I'm in this room looking at these paintings, and in walks Mike with his kids.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, I go, holy shit. I manifested. I did something. He showed up.
Yeah.
And that was surprising how easy it was. I'm just pointing out, I didn't do anything. I just said, I'm going to make Mike, I don't even know why I said to myself, I'm going to make Mike show up, or Mike's going to be there. I might have even said that.
Yeah.
And he was there. Of all the days, I mean, that guy, why was he there at that moment? So I got to talk to him.
Yeah. See, a lot of people would say that, oh, coincidence, but no, you manifested.
I don't know. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't anything. But it was pretty neat the way I said, I'm going to interact with Mike today, and he shows up at this obscure place, you know, with his family, and he could have been in 100 other places. He might not have been at a museum in 5 years. He showed up the day that I showed up. So it was so effortless and non-manipulative. That, to me, is the slack that Ian's talking about.
That's the big kahuna. That's the big kahuna, Bob. And I think in my little world, things like that happen in the way you describe.
Yeah, I'm all right.
In my little world. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, well, come back soon, Mark.
Okay, hey, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Enjoy your explanation of whatever you're doing.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.